I'd like to ask you, first of all, how often have you heard the statement that's quoted in Hebrew, the 10th chapter, the 31st verse? I'm sure every one of you at some time or other have heard this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, if God is love, as another scripture declares, how can we properly understand the meaning of this first text? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Because our eyes of understanding have been opened, we can harmonize these seemingly conflicting statements. Of a surety, brethren, truth and righteousness are thy ways, Lord God Almighty. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. And because our God does possess a balance of character, of wisdom, justice, love, and power, there is no other being like unto him. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Who is like God? As this grand supreme one, this perfect one, as he can only deal with perfect things, he created man, and of man it was said, it is very good. It is perfect. And God gave to this perfect creation, he gave unto him a perfect law. And this perfect law demanded in return perfect obedience to God. And there was only one penalty made. And that was disobedience of that perfect law would mean death. And that's it. It means death, nothing else. And so when man disobeyed of a necessity, he had to die. For our gracious God to do otherwise would have made his word void and to no effect. It would have made his word that we couldn't trust it. But because of the beauty of the character of the Almighty, the love and mercy of our gracious Father, coupled with his great wisdom and power, justice could be enacted because our gracious Father had made a provision for the forgiveness of sinners by the way that he would dictate. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Then again in Hosea, 13th chapter, 14th verse, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death." God said that. Yes, God said that he will redeem them from death. So of a surety, God had made the provision for man, even before he sinned. Justice held the human family in the grip of death. But by the grace of God, the Son of God then died and was raised from the dead and will effect a release from death of all mankind. Now, since our great God cannot make any allowances for imperfections and weaknesses. He has established and has ordained that He would set the reconciliation of man back to Him through a mediator during His kingdom. Now indeed, brethren, think about it. If that wouldn't be so, if this mediator wouldn't have been set up, wouldn't it be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God under such a condition that we are? Or that we were? To come under the perfect justice of God in a fallen condition? But our loving Father has provided the Redeemer for mankind to teach them and to lift them up out of sin and death. And this will be the purpose of the kingdom. Now this is only a prelude to what we really want to talk about. What we really want to talk about this evening, brethren, is you and our gracious Father in heaven. We want to talk about you as sons of God. How do you consider yourself? Where do you consider yourself? How does God consider you? Do you realize that God does consider you? Before this kingdom that we have been telling the world of, before this kingdom that Christ preached of, before this kingdom of restitution, before this mediatorial reign of Christ will begin, something else has to happen first. There has to be a peculiar work performed in all the earth. There has to be a selection. There has to be a class. There has to be 144,000 sons of God taken out of this earth. Yeah. Of these it is written in Romans 8th chapter, verses 14 and 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yes, brother. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. When ye have been called to become sons of God, you were not called unto a spirit of bondage. Oh, no. You were not called to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Ye have been called to become sons of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, yea, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you believe it? Can your spirit beareth witness with the Spirit of God that you are His children? Look at yourself. And look at yourself and know when you ask yourself that, you are talking to God. He is your Father. And you're talking to Him. And can you say in full heart and in full spirit that, yea, I am thy son. I am one of your children. You know, even though we have this treasure in this earthen vessel, this poor, broken down vessel, we have been blessed, brethren, with the privilege of calling the Almighty, the everlasting to everlasting. We have been blessed with the privilege of calling Him our Father. Do you realize the full import, what it means to call the Creator of all the universe your Father? Do you realize the full import of what position henceforth you are now in to call God your Father? To realize that you are one of His children. And He looks upon us, yea, that lofty one, the one who dwells in the heavens of heaven, in all that majesty, in all that glory. And He looks upon us as His Son. He looks upon us not as a son like He looked upon Adam. Adam was the Son of God. He was perfect. But God does not look upon us as sons on that same plane, that same respect. But He looks upon us as His sons in a special way. For we have been guided to be sons on a higher plane, a plane even higher than the angelic sons knew. The angels didn't know of this plane. Oh no. The angels weren't invited to be sons of God on this plane. Because this sonship means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with His Son, Christ Jesus. Heirs of God. The plane of immortality. Our Father. How many times have you in your life have uttered that precious statement? Our Father. I sometimes believe that we all feel so inadequate when we meditate upon this great thing, that because of our advocate, because of our elder brother, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do have a privilege of calling that lofty one our Father. You know, there were those who loved God supremely. In ages past, they loved Him to the giving of their lives. Of Abraham, in Exodus 6 chapter, verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. In Psalms 83:18, that men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. But to us in this age has been given the privilege of calling Him our Father. Yes. The providences of our Father over His children, brethren, is a very peculiar one. I might ask you if you have lately considered some of these special things. Have you considered lately Psalms 37:23? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Do you feel, brethren, that the Lord is guiding you in your affairs? Do you feel especially that the Lord is guiding you in your service to the truth, to the Lord, to the brethren? Do you really feel He is? Do you feel, perhaps I use the word feel lightly, but do you really believe and have faith that even the very hairs of your head are numbered? Luke 12 and 7 tells us so. The Lord is mindful of everything that takes place in our lives. Do you ever doubt? Do you ever have a doubtful moment that the Lord isn't seeing what's going on with you? Do you ever have a weak moment and think, well, maybe the Lord don't see my suffering, my great dilemma, my great trial? Do you think so? The Lord is mindful of everything that's taking place in your life. It's up to you to believe it, brethren. He knows everything that gives you joy. He knows everything that gives you pain. And be rest assured, He will not permit anything to unequal the balance. Your life will not be one of complete pain without any joy. His eyes are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Yes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He watches and He sees. And when you speak His name, He hears. Yes, He does. When you speak the name of your Father, He hears you. And He says, oh, my children are talking about me. And He hears the Albion Convention. And He knows that we are here talking about our loving Father. He listens. He sees our needs. And He hears our cry in every moment. And He's glad when we come to Him. Not only when we're full of joy, but when we are in sorrow, when we are in pain and suffering. And we come to Him, even as those of you who are parents, when your children come to you, what do you say? What do you tell them? Oh, anyway, I don't have no time for you. No, you embrace them with all the love that your heart can give. And you will do for them everything you possibly can because they love you and you love them. Because they are your children. And you are the sons of God. And our gracious Father has done something for you that perhaps sometime you might have a tendency to forget just a little bit about. He has set His angels, He has given His angels charge over you. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Yes, they are. Just how many times your guardian angel has picked you up and taken you out of some place where you put yourself where you should not have been, you don't even know. How many times your guardian angel has overruled in your life things that you won't know perhaps until you've gone beyond the veil and there confront that guardian angel and say, oh, you're the one that's giving me all that trouble. Yes, and I had to watch over you so many times. And every time you stumbled and hurt your foot, and I picked you up, and I watched over you, and I let you come to Albion Convention, and I let you go to how many prayer and praise meetings and how many studies did I let you go to? Yeah. And oh, how we will thank Him for looking after us. Because God has ordained it. Yes, our Heavenly Father has given His angels charge over thee. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will God uphold from you if you walk with Him uprightly. What are these good things? Oh, what are they? Grace and favor. Of all the good things that God is doing for you right now, which is fitting you and shaping you. Yes, giving you experiences, developing in you something. Oh, something. What is it? What is God developing in you? What is God shaping in you? Surely, surely, not this old flesh. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But He is developing in you. And He is shaping you that beautiful, wonderful character that shall be manifested in glory. And I think, yes, I think we ought to display that character a little bit more amongst ourselves. And that's why we love to come to this convention. For here we gather together with the sons of God. And this character that we long to see and to fellowship with and to speak with and to rejoice with and to laugh with, we miss it in our daily walk of life in the world. And so we come here to be feasted upon and to store it up to keep us in the days to come. But as we go about earning our daily bread, that we can have that fortitude in our hearts of remembering each one. And we'll think about each other from time to time. And we'll think about this brother, or that brother gave a testimony. And we'll remember, oh, I shook hands with this brother. And we'll think about each other. And that keeps building up in our hearts that which we so love, that which we so cherish. Because we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then we are all of one family. We belong to all. We are all truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, we could go on and on and on about the many wonderful providences and providential cares that our Father has permitted to be over us. And so when we realize we have such a kind and such a loving Father, surely we want to continue to run this race with patience. We want to continue to run in this course set before us that we may never grow weary. That when we leave, we will go strong, straight forward, out into the world, ready to do battle. That we might develop those peaceable fruits. Oh, yes. We will have our surges of trouble. We will have our trials. But we as a children of God can hold fast to these precious promises. By these precious promises of God, we are led. We are instructed. We are encouraged. And if need be, we are chastened. Yes. We are chastened. There are many times when we might not understand the Father's way of dealing with us. I didn't necessarily agree with every time I got a licking. My mama gave me a licking more than one time. And I kind of thought many times that she was wrong. I didn't do anything to deserve that. But Mom and Dad was right. As time goes, and it's the same, sometimes our Heavenly Father will chasten us And He knows best. And we might think we know best. But if we trust in Him, realizing that our Father knows what is best because He is dealing with us from an eternal standpoint. Yes. But because He is loving, and because He is just and wise, He knows what is best for us. And He knows that these experiences are going to bring forth that character that He's looking for. It's God who He's going to put. It is God who gives. Yes. He knows what He wants in each one of these 144 precious jewels. And He has called you to become His children. And He has this place for you, and He wants you to fill it. And He's going to help you to fill it. He's going to help you grow and mature until you come to the point that you're going to have exactly what your Father wants for that position. And that's what it is. Isn't that what we are, all of us, striving to develop, brethren? The fruits of the Spirit? The character that will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father? We don't ever want to be, brethren, like those whom the psalmist wrote about in the 73rd Psalm, verses 11 and 12. And they say, how does God know? You remember when I asked you at the beginning? Do you believe that God knows what you're doing? We don't ever want to be as those who say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches of the world. Yes. This indeed would be a sad state for the child of God to fall into. We want to prosper, sure. But we want to prosper in those things which are edifying to the new mind, to the new creature, that will ensure us a place in the heavenly realm of God's kingdom. And as we endeavor to become sons of God without rebuke, our hearts cry out, whom have I in heaven but Thee, O Heavenly Father? Who do we have? My heart and my flesh, they fail at me. But God is the strength of my heart. Yes, my heart, it fails me. My strength fails me. But God never fails in my heart. God our Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We have accepted the favor of God through Christ. Because of this, brethren, we have peace and we have joy, and no one else in the world can appreciate. Your friends in the world will never appreciate what you have. No, they won't. Don't ever think that they will. That is why, again, it is so precious to come to see you all again. Because we have this peace and joy that no one else can truly appreciate. You know what has been happening for the ages? Men in all ages have sought to complicate their way to the Heavenly Father. Oh, they've complicated it many, many ways. They have built fences around our gracious Father. Yes. They built a fence around him. Some of them say, well, you have to come to me first. Some of them say, well, you have to go to my church. You can't come to God unless you come to me. They have built a fence. Yes. They have built a fence with ceremony. They have built fences of tradition. They have built fences by fasting and forms of prayer. You pray so many times? How many times did you pray? 15 times straight? Formalities. But the way to our Father is so beautiful. It's so simple. The Spirit of His Son. Do you have the Spirit of the Son of God? Do you have His same Spirit? The way of salvation is so simple. It's not complicated. It's not some deep, dark thing. Some fearful thing. It's so beautiful. And it's so simple. It's a way of faith and a way of love. It's a way of loyalty. It's a way of obedience to your Heavenly Father. Nothing mysterious about that. Oh, the throne of grace is that secure and that serene place where we just love to go to. At the beginning of the day, we love to go to that serene place. At the end of the day, we love to go there. Where we find that wonderful, sweet communion with our Father. There, we can be borne up on eagle's wings. We can be borne up in His heart. And His ear hears our every petition. Oh, what a wonderful Father we have. He never said, be quiet. Did He ever tell you to be quiet? No. But He listens to you, doesn't He? He hears your every petition, and He does console you, yes. He refreshes your sweet memory of the sweet things that you have stored in that precious memory of His promises, of His plans, of His purposes that you have stored up there. And God refreshes you with them. And He also gives us joyous freedom. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. John 8:36. Whom the Son makes free. The desire and love of freedom seems inherent in all of God's intelligent creatures. We have been admonished, brethren, not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And this is indeed sound advice for the time in which we are living. And we should take every moment, every opportunity we have to fellowship with those of like precious faith, because there you are fellowshipping in light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. There is to us but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy most holy name. And may these words always be precious. May we realize whom we are speaking. How close we are to Him when we make that utterance. May we remember in all our lives, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God hath spoken. Absolutely not one thing.